Revolution is often revolving, returning back. Is that what's on the cards in Iran? It's been a fair while since I read Hannah Arendt on revolution. But as I recall, part of the story was it often means going back. I mean, revolution, revolve, turn around. Maybe that's what's about to happen in Iran. The Ayatollahs came in, there was a revolution. They go out, there'll be another revolution, a turning back. Is that what is about to happen? Joining me now to discuss just that, the risks, etc., is Lindsay Hughes. He's a senior research analyst at the Indian Ocean Research Program. Lindsay Hughes, welcome back to Counterpoint.
Thank you.
Well, things are a bit unhappy in Iran, aren't they?
They are. There's been a lot of trouble there, violence, unrest, civil unrest, and people are just fed up with the regime.
Well, people are unhappy, but they're unhappy because, you know, they're in a desperate situation, aren't they? They're not doing well.
No, they're not. Quite a few people, in fact, the vast majority of people in Iran right now are facing a lot of economic difficulties. Now, the difficulties stem not just from Donald Trump and his sanctions on Iran, but from mismanagement of funds in Iran, corruption, and the insistence of the regime to subsidize their proxy wars in Yemen and Syria. And the money that is spent towards those ends is being taken away from what is required by the people of Iran. And it is the people who are suffering now, and they're not happy about it, unsurprisingly.
Now, there's been unhappiness in Iran before. Well, that's an understatement, I suppose, but I'm thinking particularly of 2009. But that was a bit more organised. Isn't the telling thing here that the upsets, the protests, have been broadly spread, indicating that the upset is actually at the street level with the people? It's not being G'd up by some hierarchical protest group. It's actually the people are unhappy.
Absolutely. In 2009, the people came together to protest Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's election as president. There was a definite hierarchy to the protests at the time. This time around, there's no hierarchy. The demonstrations against the regime, the theocracy, are spontaneous. They are spread across the country, and it is that combination that makes the demonstrations far more dangerous for the regime this time around. By and large, the people are fed up with corruption, the ineptness of the regime, and nobody believes that Iran is a democracy anymore.
Well, as I understand it, this current round of demonstrations started in the second most populous city. So that's what, for us, I suppose, Melbourne. And in the northeast, which is also the second holiest city. So we're not talking about in some outlying place. This is a very important centre, if you like, and then spread to the holiest city, to the home of the leader of the Iranian revolution. So, you know, it's not good, is it?
No, it isn't.
Now, what's going to happen? I mean, I can say it's not good, sure, but something's got to give. So there's either presumably going to be a pressing down from the theocracy, or they're going to be rising up by the people. What do you think?
It's difficult to say at this time precisely what's going to happen, but I think at some point in time, as you say, something has got to give. If I were a betting man, I'd say that the people are going to rise up in one form or another, and there's going to be a lot more trouble for the regime. The time for the Ayatollahs, I believe, is fast approaching, and they recognize it. The question now is, can they keep the uprising from happening too fast, and how do they keep themselves from being, to put it bluntly, hanged as traitors to their own cause? Let me go back to 1979, when Ruhollah Khomeini fomented the revolution, when the revolution happened. At the time, Khomeini said that he was going to bring about true democracy. He was going to have women's rights at the very forefront of the constitution. and he was going to stamp out corruption. None of these things have happened. In fact, Khomeini was conflicted by the tension between two different types of sovereignty in Iran. There was the popular sovereignty, if you will, the popularity that derives from the people, and then there was divine sovereignty. And being an ayatollah, a religious leader, Khomeini finally fell back on divine sovereignty. And the two have never been reconciled. As a consequence, there's been a theolization, if you'll forgive the term, of politics in Iran. Everything is about theology. Theology and religion takes prime position. Now, immediately after the revolution, there was a lot of bloodshed because it was estimated that about 40,000 so-called enemies of the state were executed. Between 1979 and 2009, the theocrats arrested or imprisoned or killed at least 860 journalists, according to Reporters Without Borders. And to this day, state television in Iran coerces people who have been arrested into providing on-air confessions, so-called confessions. But the persecution of Iranians doesn't stop there. It is carried on by the regime abroad as well. They send hit teams out to Europe to try and assassinate the people they see as opponents to their regime. So, for instance, the former Prime Minister, Shapur Bakhtiar, who was Prime Minister towards the end of the Shah's regime in 1979, and he was stabbed multiple times in his Paris apartment. Now, recently, the Netherlands has accused Iran of sending teams across, assassination squads, to try to murder Iranians who are living in the Netherlands. And on it goes. The regime is going to stop at nothing to ensure that they remain in power. But I believe, and this is a personal view, that they are fighting a losing battle.
Well, with unemployment for young people and women at around a third and inflation at 17%, that's a worrying thing for starters. But then I understand what has surprised the theocracy is the sort of chance at these protests as opposed to the ones in 2009. Whereas in 2009, they didn't want the president re-elected. Here, the chants are quite different. Death to the dictator. The clerics should get lost. The people are begging. The clerics act like God. These are not just protests at who's there. It's get rid of the theocracy. And as I understand from your article, the people in charge weren't expecting that.
That is correct.
Very clear message from the people. We've had enough of you.
Absolutely. And unfortunately for us, when you listen to people like Trump, he talks about Iran being bad. Now, to conflate the Iranian people with the theocracy would be very short-sighted. There are two different entities. The Iranian people are sophisticated, they are highly educated on average, and they are forward-looking. They don't want to be taken back in time to a so-called golden age. Islam and religion has its place in their view. The Iranian people are not caught up in the resurgence of Islam in the Arab world. They are not Arab, and they want to move on with their lives.
Maybe it was the case in 2009, but apparently what is quite clear here is the involvement of women. Women out in demonstrations where there's smoke and it looks a bit like a battlefield, out there with a hand in the air and a scarf over their face just to stop the smoke going in, but obviously saying, look, we've had enough.
That's right. Women were centre and front in the battle against the theocrats. As you say, the women in Tehran, in Homs, the holy city of Homs, Khomeini's hometown, the women there were taking off their headscarves, burning them, hoisting them on sticks, holding them up as a sign of total defiance against the regime to say, we are not going to be subjugated any longer. We want our own rights. You promised us, Khomeini promised women equality, and nothing came of it.
Nothing came. Well, you know, there's a big mistake in lying to a woman, promising her something and then not delivering. promising to a whole generation of women and not delivering is a bad thing. Do you know, there's a very famous tapestry, I think it's in South Australia, and it was sent because, as you know, South Australia was the first to give women both the vote and the right to stand. And it's a bit old-fashioned, I know, but it's got some empire-looking woman holding up a torch type thing. And the caption on it is, "Trust the women mother as I have done." In other words, give the women a say. I think it's out of the bag. If the women have had enough, it's over. You know, if they're prepared to be subjugated, the men can get away with it. But once they say, nah, this is finished, it's finished. If I were in charge of this joint, I think I'd be finding out how I can get out of the country pretty quick.
Absolutely.
Yeah, their time is up. Let's hope that prediction is correct.
I think their time is up, and I think it's only a matter of time before the theocracy changes in one form or the other, but change is coming and the change will happen. I cannot say with any confidence how long it will be before the change does happen, but happen it will.
And happen it will. Lindsay Hughes, Senior Research Analyst at the Indian Ocean Research Program, thanks for joining us again on Counterpoint.
Thank you very much.